Blog Talk Radio.
People in their t-shirts, that's for sure. Here it's 3 p.m. And I have a really interesting show. What's the Midtown Men? These are the four former original cast members from the Broadway show Jersey Boys. And we're going to have Tony Award winner Christian Hoff, Michael Longoria, Daniel Richard. Let me know if I pronounce it correctly. And Tony Award-winning nominee J. Robert Spencer. Well, they're starring this one-of-a-kind concert, and they're experiencing, celebrating the music that defined the 60s, like music from Beatles to Beach Boys to Motown and, of course, the Four Seasons. So they are now on their own, doing their own thing. And I got three of them on the line now. I'm going to open up all of their mics and see who I got. So, who's... okay.
Merle. You sound great, Merle.
Hi,
how are you?
Okay. Well, let's see. Let's see.
Michael,
I'll call
Longoria
them out.
Here.
Yeah, okay, Michael, yeah.
Yes,
this is Bobby Spencer. Oh, I'm speaking first, Mr. Hoff. You just simmer down. This is what happens every time, Merle. We're constantly talking over each other. Constantly. No, go ahead, Christian. Go, Christian.
Hey, it's Christian Hoff.
And it's Bobby Spencer. And it's going to be Daniel Reichard when
Reichard,
he gets on
okay.
the phone. Everybody
okay.
says Richard. Everybody. And actually, I had Richard last night before my scallops came out. With just a little bit of vinaigrette, the Richard was perfect with the salad that came to the table. It actually was quite lovely. So, he does though, doesn't it? If you say it Richard, it sounds like a green leafy vegetable.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Well, okay, now I got the last one. Okay, wait, let's open up his mic. All right, you're there.
Hello, this is Daniel.
Okay, now I got you all. Well... I have to tell you that, and just so we can get clear on who all you guys are, okay, I took out a playbill. I collect the playbills when I go to the shows. Not because I think they're collector's item. It's because, you know, memory, you know what I mean? Did I see that show? Let me look, and if I have a playbill, at least I can go back and say, oh, yeah, I saw that, and that's who I know that person from. So the playbill I have says 2005.
Wow,
well, I tell you, time goes by. And it was at the August Wilson Theater. And I believe that's where I saw you guys. And the so what I got, okay, here's what I got on the thing. Okay, J. Robert Spencer is the one who played Nick Massey. Daniel is
That's
the
right.
one who played Bob, and I'm not going to say Guido, because it almost looks like that.
Uh-oh.
Guardio.
Yeah, that's right. It's Guardio.
Guardio? Guardio,
Gaudio,
okay.
Like the word audio.
Oh, okay. And Christian, you played Tony DeVito. So I got these correct?
Yeah,
okay.
Tommy DeVito.
So what,
Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito.
Oh, Tommy. I'm sorry. Okay. And so, and Michael, you, according to this, you understudied the person who John Lloyd Young, who portrayed Frankie Valli.
Yeah, I was the original Joe Pesci, and I would also play Frankie Valli as well that whole year.
You know, I was trying to figure out. It's really funny because I'm looking at the cast list, going, "Where's Joe Pesci?" You know, you must have done such a great job that I thought it was him.
He did a phenomenal job. There was many times, Michael, before he took over the role of Frankie, that he had to go on in a moment's notice, and he brought the house down, brought it down.
There's actually one show, Merle,
yeah?
And this actually went down in the history of Jersey Boys, where I actually played both roles. I played Joe Pesci in the first, like, quarter of the show, and then literally had the show stopped. I had 12 minutes to rip off that outfit of Joe Pesci and jump into my Frankie Valli Sherry outfit and join these three to hit Sherry. And the audience literally saw me play Joe Pesci and Frankie Valli. And
it was
one of the most, like, I don't ever want to say, it's not actor's nightmare because I was really prepared, but it was one of those situations where you're like, oh, what is going on here on Broadway in live theater? And I was just so blessed to have these three guys, you know, not even flinch and make a, you know, any kind of issue about it. They were literally the same characters they were when I was playing Joe Pesci. They just saw me as Frankie Valli in the next scene. You know, they didn't even blink. So that
now,
just
Michael,
to show you how
Michael,
crazy Broadway is.
We know you changed character, Michael, but did you change your hairstyle?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't have time to change my hair because they gave me only 12 minutes. But
I see, okay.
But we weren't fooling the audience, see. No, I don't think I changed that either. Okay, see, this is where we crossed the line with these guys.
it was an incredible moment. Incredible moment. And I have to say that that particular episode is everything that Michael just explained, but also to add even more icing to that cake of that particular day, we had just done like this photo shoot for Cigar Aficionado magazine to promote the show.
Right.
And it just so happened that particular day that the editor of that magazine that was doing the article caught that moment.
Right.
And
oh,
he wrote this huge, huge thing. He didn't even plan on writing this, but he was so compelled after he saw Michael do the role to have this huge article within the article that we were supposed to do, that we did do for Cigar Aficionado magazine, that just said, you know, when you're at a show, basically I'm cliff noting it, but you know, when you're at a show and, you know, the yada yada, you know, whatever, the lead guy isn't doing it, and then they bring on the understudy, you think, ah, great, here we go. And he just said, let me tell you something. He's like, I saw it happen. He said, and this guy, Michael Longoria, is a star. And he did, man. He just was going off about Michael in this Cigar Aficionado magazine article. And so a lot of great things happened in that particular moment in time for us and for Michael. So it was cool.
I bet. And at what point did you guys, like, were not a part of the cast anymore? And what year or whatever?
I was for about 3 years on Broadway. I believe 2008 was September of 2008 was when the final of us all left. But we definitely did the show for well over 1,000 performances together.
And when you guys left, you didn't like do like Jersey Boys on tour.
Nope.
Okay.
We all moved on other things, and I think I was I left a few months before the guys, and then the three of them hung on for a little while longer, and then we all left and we all started working on different shows for about a year, and Michael and I were still singing together sometimes, but everybody went off and started working on their own projects and, you know, kind of had their own adventures. And then last year in April, the four of us said, let's get together and start singing together all over the country. And that's what we've been doing over the past year. We did 46 cities last year and just had an absolute blast on the road together. And it's in our show. So in our show, we get to sing the great hits from Jersey Boys, the great Four Seasons songs. And on top of it all, we put our spin on the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Motown. So people coming to see us get a little bit of that Jersey Boys magic, but they're also going to get to have kind of this whole full course meal of the 1960s music.
That's great. So I guess that you, when you realize, well, because of doing Jersey Boys, that the four of you were a, you know, like a group. You did that group thing for so many amount of times that you realized you could still do that but not be part of the show anymore. Is that why you decided?
Yeah, Merle. You know, what happened was while we were still in the show, we would get together before and during and after the show in our dressing rooms, and we would work on our, we would apply the sound that we were creating on stage to all these other great songs, and we started performing at that time outside the theater for charity functions and galas and you know, celebrity birthdays, and we were just having a blast doing it as, you know, as a side gig while we were in Jersey Boys just for fun. And then what we found, you know, when we got back together, we're able now to put our sound on not only in the Four Seasons, as Daniel said, but we get to show people all the stuff that we did, you know, behind the scenes while we were in Jersey Boys for 3 years. All of the, you know, all of these great iconic groups of the 1960s that we are able to apply what we did for the Four Seasons to bring them into, you know, mega stardom again, we're able to do with all of the great hits in the 1960s. And what we found on stage, you know, performing for thousands of people, we look at each other and we're not pretending to be a band like we did while we were in Jersey Boys. We're looking at each other saying, wow, these folks are on their feet. This standing ovation, this joy that we get to share with the audience is for us as performers right now. So we're actually living out a dream that we had in Jersey Boys in real life.
Well, that's really great, because I'll be seeing you guys at when you're at Queens College.
That's right.
Oh, good. That's awesome. I'm glad you're making it.
Oh yeah, we haven't.
We better see you out there shaking it, okay?
Oh yeah, have you seen the venue at Queens College? Have you ever been there? Any of you to see?
No, I have not. I've never been there. I've just seen pictures of it.
I have to tell. I just went to see Linda Eder perform, and I have to tell you, with this Colden Center, the Colden Auditorium, I'm an alumni of Queens College, and Colden Auditorium was like the place in terms of sound. You could be totally in the back and get the same sound quality of sitting in the front. It's the acoustics are amazing. So you will absolutely enjoy being there. And I forgot what date. When's the date? April 9th. Oh, it's coming up soon. Oh,
April 9th, Queens College, the Colden Auditorium. That's right. Promote.
Yeah,
you can get tickets still, Merle.
Huh?
Tickets are still on sale. They're available. You can go to our website, themidtownmen.com, and you can get tickets and come see us after. We always do a meet and greet afterwards. We always greet the fans like we did every show after Jersey Boys, and we look forward to seeing our fans and all those who are supporting us as the Midtown Men.
Oh, sure. I already put this out in the newspaper, too. Don't worry about it. I write for a newspaper in Queens, so I already put this out.
Oh, good.
Glad to hear it. Thank you, Merle.
Well, let's go to each of you to boast your whole background, et cetera. So, and by the way, first I want to start with Michael, because, Michael, you're the one who has to do that voice. You know what I mean? And I'm dying to, like, in your background in singing and stuff, were you always able to sing like that, or did you say, this is the role and I got to do it?
Well, I think what happened was I think I developed that part of my register just singing as a young kid. My mom tells me I was singing melodies before I could form sentences. I was sitting on her lap because my mom was a piano player and singer. So she'd be practicing, and I'd be on her lap just kind of like humming along tunes and stuff instead of going outside. So I think developing that as a kid with her and singing a lot and even through puberty and voice change and all that, continuing to sing, I think I just held on to the strength of that upper register. And I actually didn't even realize that I had those high notes until my junior year of college, and they were auditioning for a doo-wop musical. And one of the tunes happened to have a really high falsetto part, and I had no idea, you know, really what that was. I mean, I'd always sang high or low, you know, I never really called it anything. I didn't call it falsetto or anything like that. But sure enough, you know, the auditions came, and the director was like, hey, do you think you could hit that, you know, up the octave? And I was like, sure, why not? So there I went. I went up there, and then I got the part, and the entire musical was a doo-wop, you know, 50s, 60s sound, and I just started to discover that sound then.
So it's not like it doesn't hurt your vocal cords, in other words.
Oh, no way. Well, you know, I think in the beginning of Jersey, when I was doing Jersey Boys, it was very challenging because though I had sung up there, I'd never sung up there, you know, consistently, you know, every single night for a show on Broadway, you know. So
right.
I studied with two different voice teachers while I was in the show for all the 3 years, literally one on Tuesday and one on Friday, two separate voice teachers. And I try to make that happen every single week while I was doing the show. And by the third year, I mean, I was hitting those notes with ease. So I found a way, luckily, to connect the soul part of my expression to the mechanical part.
And so what have you done prior to Jersey Boys?
Well, I came to New York when I was 17, and I had a scholarship to study acting at NYU at the Tisch School of the Arts. And so I came out here all alone. I didn't have any family out here, but luckily I made, you know, any time you are in the arts or in theater, especially in New York, you find and create a family really quick with all the other artists and actors that are there. So I went to NYU. I went to the full 4 years, and luckily right after the NYU, I was able to book the Broadway show Hairspray, which, you know, a few years later I would find out it was right across the street from Jersey Boys. So just luckily I was blessed enough to have both of my Broadway shows be on that same street.
Oh,
but before that, hey, Merle, let me interject. Before that,
yes.
Michael actually did a chorus line with my wife.
Oh, that's right.
Jenny Lynn Slackling, they jammed together. And my wife recalls, we were just talking about this about, you know, a couple weeks back. And she's like, I can still remember Michael Longoria running down the street where we were doing a chorus line up at, like, Nyack, New York, and saying, I just got hairspray.
Yeah.
She's like vividly remembers
that
moment.
I met Bobby's wife. I don't even know if you guys, were you already married then? I mean, I was in college. I was a sophomore in college.
We were still dating. We were
right.
Still dating at that time, yeah.
So I was a sophomore at NYU, and this was my very first professional equity theater production up in Nyack, New York, and Bobby's soon-to-be wife was playing one of the lead roles in the show. So that just goes to show you what a small world it is. I mean, I met Daniel even during college. Daniel and I did a reading together when I was, you know, studying at NYU, and because he was already a professional actor in the city. And, you know, years later, there we were, you know, rehearsing for Jersey Boys together. It was just such an amazing, amazing opportunity for us.
Well, that's great. And by the way, I just wanted to share that, you know, the thing with the duo role kind of thing. When I was 17 years old and doing community theater, and they had asked me to be the musical director. And so I had to do everything that I needed to do. And then 2 weeks into rehearsal, they said that the person who's playing third lead had to leave, and can I take her part? So you had to see.
Yeah.
So
well, you know,
would have
my first show in Hairspray, my Broadway debut, I kid you not, I was hired to be cover about five different dancers who were all of the nicest kid dancer tracks. In Hairspray, I don't know if you're familiar. But anyway, so I'm learning the tracks of these two guys. The dance captain at the time said, study these two guys. These guys are always calling out of the show. You're guaranteed to go on for one of these guys first. So there I was, you know, my first Broadway show, Hairspray. I'm studying hardest to go on for one of these kids. The night that I officially take over as the person who's to be called on for that duty, another kid who I had never even – looked at, who had been there, like, the best record of attendance, he broke his ankle. And sure enough, who do they put on? They put me. And I had no idea. The only thing I knew was how to do the dance moves, because I never studied this person's, you know, track, what number they went to on stage, when they entered, or anything like that. So I literally had the stage manager pushing me on and off for my first Broadway debut entrance. It was like the most terrifying experience ever. But ever since then, nothing ever was that terrifying. You know, not even playing Frankie Valli.
Wow. And since like you exited from Jersey Boys, what have you done up until doing this?
Well, when I left Jersey Boys, I did a little bit of a workshop up in Montreal for Cirque du Soleil. They were workshopping a brand new show out there. So I did that for a good maybe 5 or 6 months. And then in between all that time, I was doing concert work. You know, I did a live show with Joe Piscopo in Atlantic City, you know, a concert where I sang and he did his comedy act. So I'm kind of keeping busy here and there. And then you know, Daniel and I were doing a few concerts. And then luckily we got back together with these guys. And, you know, when we're singing with these guys, I'm telling you, it's magic, you know. And it all comes from the brotherhood and the life experience of sharing a Broadway stage for 3 years of your life and then going away and then coming back and sharing the road. We literally shared 40-some-odd cities all over the place. And you gotta know somebody at the end of that road. I mean, I know these guys so well.
And Michael, where do you live now?
Well, I'm actually definitely a Hell's Kitchen boy here in Midtown, Manhattan, over in the 50s. And,
okay. So you're in Manhattan.
Be happier.
You're in New York.
Yeah.
Address, please. Please keep it.
All right. I'm on the corner of...
Hey, guys, I got all your phone numbers yet.
Yes.
I ain't going to give them out. Don't worry.
Merle, meet me in a half an hour.
call us anytime we get bored.
Well, actually, I'm going into the city today to see the show Lombardi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so let me get to, you know, next one. Okay. Should I just call you Jay or Robert?
It's Mr. J. Robert Spencer.
Oh, okay.
No, call me Bobby, actually. Bobby, it's that's my name, J. Robert's just for the whole the whole equity after union thing.
He has a thing for Bobby Sox.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bobby, let's go to your background. Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
You know what I want to do? Wait, before I do that, I want to play one of the songs that you guys are going to be singing. Breaking Up is Hard to Do, okay?
Ooh, wonderful.
All right.
Is Michael like that?
Well, on that track, that was me. But we in our show, as you'll see in Queens, you know, we share the spotlight so many times,
okay.
And it's hard to focus who's singing what sometimes. But on that one's definitely one that I do.
Oh, okay. So in other words, as we're hearing the songs, will anybody else be singing like, when I say the lead, in other words, it sounds like a higher voice with the lead like that.
No,
exactly.
That's the beauty of the Midtown, man, and the fact that, you know, because we're four powerhouse guys, you know, each of us have our own strengths and our own talents. When you come to see the Midtown, man, you're going to see each and every one of us. You're not only going to see the talent that we displayed in Jersey Boys with the Four Seasons music, but you're going to see everybody shine, and you'll be surprised, too, at the kind of music that we select. I think it's very eclectic, and it really does showcase everybody in the best way.
Good. Okay, so back to Bobby now.
Hi.
all right, so let's get to your background and what led you.
Okay.
And, go ahead. Go.
Well,
I
have four older sisters. I am the baby boy. We were all born in Wilmington, Delaware. We moved to New Jersey, Minnesota, Texas, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania. I went to college in Virginia at Shenandoah University. I got my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree there. I was honored a couple years back with an honorary doctorate. So now I am officially Dr. Bob. And I've been performing since fourth grade when I did the role of Alligator in the show Really Rosie. I did something at the, you know, little audition they held in school, and everybody busted up laughing, and I kind of looked up and literally had a light bulb moment, like, wow, okay, I dig this. All right, yeah. And I came to New York, and the first job that I got actually before I came to New York was just working on a cruise ship, singing and dancing just so I could save money and not have to wait tables when I came to New York. So I saved all that money. I came to New York. I got a job doing a children's tour with TheaterWorks USA, which got me my equity card. And then I hit every audition under the sun. I got the national tour of Cats. I played Rum Tum Tugger. I was out on the road for 14 months, saved a lot of money, came back to the city again. Within a couple of months, I did a ton of readings and workshops. Then I ended up getting my first Broadway show called Sideshow, which is where I met my wife, Jenny Lynn. And then in that period of time, after Sideshow closed, it was just doing everything under the sun I could to keep active as an artist. And then I would say that I was consistently working as an artist. And then I ended up booking Jersey Boys. And that just kind of changed everything. It was like the one that I had been waiting for and hoping to grab one day as an actor to really show once and for all, you know, the New York community, you know, who I was and what my capabilities were as an artist. And it was really a wonderful platform to do that. And in the 3 years that I was doing Nick Massey in the show, I ended up starting my own film company called Seven Spencer Productions. And through the generosity of one of our producers of Jersey Boys, a gentleman named Joseph Grano, he gave me the funding for my first independent feature called Farm Girl in New York. And it actually is available on Amazon.com and on Netflix right now. We signed a distribution deal a couple months back. And for an independent artist, that's pretty thrilling, you know, to put all of your eggs into one basket, have someone like Joe Grano come up to you and believe in you and trust you and just make your dream come true. And that's something that Joe has really done in all the time that I've known him, not just with what he did for our lives, but what he's done for so many other people's lives. He's a very generous man, and we wouldn't have been able to have made this film without him. So if anyone wants to get Farm Girl in New York, go to Amazon.com.
Okay. I'm writing this
or
down
Netflix.
I get Netflix.
Yeah.
Farm Girl in New York. Okay.
It's about two guys who want to get laid, so they hope to audition in New York City to meet girls. So,
oh, okay.
That's pretty much the premise. It's like Dumb and Dumber meets any Mel Brooks movie under the sun.
Oh, my type of movie.
Yeah. And when that gig was done and I left Jersey Boys, I ended up doing a couple things. I ended up doing a concert called Handel's Messiah Rocks with Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops. And they filmed it for PBS, and it's also available on CD and on DVD. But I did that concert with LaChance and with Meg Ayessa, and it was a tremendous moment to sing this that music with the cool, like, hard rock, heavy metal edge to it with, you know, the Boston Pops behind us and this heavy metal band. It was incredible. It was crazy.
And you got a CD on that?
It's out there. Yeah, it's Handel's Messiah Rocks. Again, you can get it on iTunes or Amazon. It's a DVD and a CD.
Okay.
And then I ended up getting a show called Next to Normal on Broadway. And it was another crazy phenomenon for a Broadway show, and to be able to have two phenomenon, Jersey Boys and Next to Normal, that was just unheard of. And I was really fortunate about that. And that gave me a nice nomination for Best Leading Actor in a Musical, which was fun. And then it was around the time of the show, pretty much Next to Normal coming to an end, when Daniel called me and said, you know, we're out doing this, and we're going to go serious with it. And, you know, we'd love for you to join up. And the thing is, I had been jamming with the guys from time to time, like Christian said earlier, while we were still doing Jersey Boys. We were doing stuff where we could perform, as long as we didn't at the time, because we were in Jersey Boys. We could do performances, like Christian said, at celeb parties and at corporate events and private functions. We just couldn't do any Four Seasons catalog, which wasn't an issue because there's so much great music from the 60s. So, but once we got out of Jersey Boys, then it's just like, well, now we can do all that music. You know, there's no limitations. There's nothing, there's no barriers that we need to worry about. And once I joined up, it really turned into taking it to the next level as artists. Like, if we're going to do full-time, let's do full-time. Let's put together a really great show of not just singing these iconic music and, you know, the songs of the 60s, but being able to do what we do best, which is just be friends on stage, and to be able to have like kind of like a very Rat Pack kind of vibe and feel and nostalgic time machine that we can take everybody through in that music, but also in being able to turn into a VH1 storytellers to tell them of what we're doing now, talking to you, Merle, you know, just talking about our lives, our friendships, where we started, what happened to us during the show, what happened to certain moments. So it's an incredibly entertaining evening. And as an artist, it fulfills all of my artistic desires. I'm able to entertain people, which is what I love to do. I'm able to be my own boss with my three other, you know, partners, Christian and Daniel and Michael, and we get to do things our way. And people love what we do, and I think more importantly is they really love that special connection and chemistry that they saw when we were on Broadway, and I think they're really, really excited to come and see us once again, and we are very thrilled that we've had a huge amount of success, and we have a continued success with these wonderful concerts we have booked this upcoming year. So that's kind of my life story, and that's where we're at right now.
And are any of you actually old enough to be around in the 60s?
We're all in our late 20s.
early to late 20s.
Oh, early 20s. I'm sorry. I always get that wrong. Early 20s.
Now, let's get to, by the way, just to get an idea, I mean, I know that '60s music, and it's funny, when I listen to the music, you know, like the 60s especially, it was probably the time that I listened, I think, to music the most, and I would also, and I, like, could still know the words to the songs, but you used to be able to go to the store and buy, they used to call these little music sheets. And it came out like every month, the lyrics to the top hits. So we all would be able to sing the songs because we got the lyrics. But it's interesting how, you know, I could still come out with the words, you know, going, oh, I still remember the words to that. And songs come out now and like, I don't remember the words at all. But so let's get to Daniel.
My
what
favorite topic.
And by the way, so Bob, you still live? You live in Manhattan? I mean, you live in New York?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Daniel,
yes,
how about you, Daniel?
I'm also a New York City boy. I live downtown, and I just absolutely love this city. I love living here. There's nowhere else I'd rather be.
As a joke that I say, people ask me if I'm from Queens, and I say, no, my folks are straight. Get it? People ask me from
It was a playbill. It was on playbill.com that the four of us are to play Queens. And so I said, I'll take Liberace. Michael, you know, will be Owen. Bobby's going to be...
I'm going to be Richard Simmons.
Yeah,
ooh,
Bobby,
that's a good choice.
Christian will be RuPaul.
And Bobby's Tom Cruise.
RuPaul.
Ben, stop it.
Right. I love RuPaul. Are you kidding me? It's my favorite drag queen. Well, aside from Shaquita.
All right, so Daniel, let's hear about your background.
Well, you know, like Bobby, I'm from a larger family. I'm one of nine children. I'm the eighth of nine children. So, of course, growing up, I had the absolute necessity to work for attention, because you had to really make some noise to be noticed in my house, because it was always, just a whirling flurry of activity in Cleveland, Ohio. So with my eight brothers and sisters, and I would get up on the dinner table during family reunions and do King Tut, sing King Tut by Steve Martin, you know, for everybody. And, you know, as like a little four-year-old boy. And so definitely I had a flair for it. And I went to school to study music at the University of Michigan, and just had an absolutely wonderful experience there. And then right after, with my best friends, we all packed up and moved to NYC and just started the whole grind of building a career. And basically I spent my first year out of school going to regional theaters, doing, you know, plays in small theaters all across the country, in the mountains of Vermont and in the North Shore of Massachusetts, and just sort of built up my experience and, you know, it's a great way to kind of learn was how to be a professional actor, was doing it in all these little theaters all over the place. And then stayed in New York City finally. I started getting some success in the world of Off-Broadway, so I did a wonderful Off-Broadway show called Forbidden Broadway that was around for over 20 years. And
God.
That's how I got...
When you did Forbidden Broadway, what songs did you sing from what shows?
Oh, I did Colm Wilkinson and Les Miserables. I did Mandy Patinkin. I did Adam Pascal and Aida, Elton John. You know, just all these ridiculous characters.
That was such a funny show.
It was amazing, and it was my first show in New York City. So you're just like, all of a sudden, part of this amazing New York theater tradition that I had, you know, my friends and I in high school, we were theater nerds. So, you know, we loved listening to the soundtracks of shows, and we used to listen to Forbidden Broadway all the time, you know. And then that I was in it with all of these great veterans of the show, it was absolutely not only a blast, but just the best training a young actor could get.
And I'm just curious, did you see all of the shows that you were making fun of?
Oh, well, yeah, they would always give you these learning tapes. Like, so you would get a tape with, because you can, of course, on an off-Broadway salary, you can't afford to go to one Broadway show, much less all of them. But,
okay.
But anyway. And so I did another show called Radiant Baby about the life and work of the artist Keith Haring. And this was down at the Public Theater in downtown New York. George C. Wolfe, who's one of the greatest theater directors, you know, of our time, was the director and gave me my first kind of big break. And then from that show, Des Mackinoff, who directed Jersey Boys, hired me to do Jersey Boys. He had seen me in A Radiant Baby, and told me at my audition that he had always wanted to work with me. So it was kind of an amazing little chain of events that led me to Jersey Boys. And then, of course, when we started working on the show, it changed my life. It changed all of our lives. You know, we went on this incredible rocket ride with this show. I mean, we were doing the 8 shows a week, and we were on television every week, and we were, you know, going to Carnegie Hall during intermission and performing. We were performing in Times Square, and it was all these things that I never would have believed I would go through something, and in such an extreme way. I mean, the success of Jersey Boys is exceptional. So I was absolutely just so thrilled and elated. My family, of course, was over the moon about it. They had the best time coming to see it, and, you know, following this whole adventure that we had from starting it in La Jolla, California, to, you know, when Julie Andrews, you know, said, you know, best musical is Jersey Boys. You know, it was just all of these adventures we had together. They're just unforgettable. And I write them down when I think of new ones, because it was the kind of experience that every day something insane was happening, some incredible opportunity or some amazing celebrity was there or whatever, or somebody you idolize. You know, I eventually met Steve Martin, you know, and I told him right on the stage of Jersey Boys after a performance that he was my hero growing up, and that, you know, I was just absolutely thrilled to meet him. So it was a wild, wild assortment of experiences. And then afterwards, I left the show, and I played Candide and the New York City Opera's version of Candide at Lincoln Center. I did a Jim Henson musical with his people, called Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. And then I also did the movie of Forever Plaid, the stage show Forever Plaid, and that's actually playing all across the country as we speak. In fact, my friend called me from Cleveland, my hometown, last night and said, oh my God, I'm watching you on PBS right now in Forever Plaid. So it was amazing, you know. So that's my little story.
That's great.
Is anyone still awake? Anyone?
Did anyone fall asleep during that? I lost him on blah, blah, blah.
Who is this?
Oh, good. Okay, before we go to, and not, I'm not going to say the with you, the, you know, what do they say at the end? Last but not least. I hate that. It's like.
Yeah, you could say last, but certainly not
last.
Least.
But definitely,
yeah, but
certainly. Most.
I have to take a quick commercial break, and please don't drool when you hear this. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. Yes, and you can get these fabulous brownies on www.brownies.com. Oh, God. I even wrote their commercial because their brownies are so good.
You're making me want a brownie right now.
I loved it. That was wonderful.
Okay. Well, we're not going to last but not least, but you want to say last but the best?
Last but definitely the most.
Okay.
The most.
Should I conclude from with area codes that Kristen, that you don't live in New York?
Kristen? We lost Kristen because of the connection. He's so
far
away.
Yeah, hey, how are you? I am, because of the time delay, I'm in the Bahamas right now, so there's a little bit of a delay here. Yeah, actually.
He's eating brownies.
Is it better?
Yes.
Is it better, yes, as they say in the Bahamas?
It is. It is. Take my word for it.
And
so, Merle, thanks,
where do you...
thanks for having us. You know, I'm in California right now and missing the guys very much, but luckily we'll be together again in a week or so. We've had a little break, and all is well.
Okay.
In California.
And, yeah, so there it's like 1:45 on your time, huh?
It's 1:45, 75.
1:45, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what time it is.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
It's 12:45, yeah. It's 75 degrees, and...
Oh, shut up.
I'm just going to rub it in for a second. The suntan lotion, that is.
What part of California are you in?
I am in sunny San Diego right now.
Yeah. Oh, how long are you going to be there?
As long as I can.
Why?
Are you coming?
Because I got an email. A San Diego zoo just opened up a safari park.
Yes.
Just in case you're interested in going.
Well, I live very close to that safari park. In fact, just a few minutes away. How about
that? Oh, look at that.
Yeah, they let me out of the cage to be on World with Merle today. So I'm grateful to
I'm
the
a zookeeper.
Game. Yeah, the zookeeper
so
and I are pretty tight.
You know what a zebra is, don't you?
What's a zebra,
Merle?
A zebra
is the largest size bra you could find.
Hello. Oh, I'd love to see a zebra.
Now
that's a girl I want to date.
Okay, so let's hear about your Christian. Let's hear about your background.
Well, why don't I just start from front to back instead of like these guys who started when they came out of the womb. So
don't be ashamed of Kids Incorporated, Christian.
I go back way before that. You want me to start at the beginning? I will. My first TV show was with Shirley MacLaine.
Gerber Babies.
Yeah, that's right. It was with Shirley MacLaine, and she taught me everything I know about trail mix, past lives, and how to peel an orange without getting it under your fingernails. But after I did it, I did a pas de deux with Shirley MacLaine, and she wrote on her book, which was one of her first memoirs at the time. She has a couple since then. She said, if you have the will to see it through, young fella, then your life will never be the same. And that really got me going, and I realized that this is something that you can do just being a regular guy, which is what she encouraged. She said, you can just do it. You know, you don't have to be any certain thing or try to follow, in someone's footsteps or fall into a mold. She said, break that mold. Just do what you love to do and what you're gifted in. And that's really what I started doing early on. I did voiceovers. I was the voice of Richie Rich. And that's going way back. That's, working at Hanna-Barbera and walking down the halls. And they're doing Scooby-Doo,
yeah,
and they're doing the Jetsons and the Flintstones.
Okay, we're leaving at 4 o'clock.
I'm sorry. I'm talking to my son. I hit the mute button. I'm sorry. I'm picking my son up from his play date, and I thought I had mute on. I'm sorry.
Bobby's
go ahead.
Interested.
Yes.
So sorry.
So anyway, I started acting as a kid and doing voiceovers and TV and I continue to do that to this day, so I kept that up all along the way. I was on Little House on the Prairie, Father Murphy, and Quincy as a young guy, and then I went to school and I went to a performing arts school in San Diego, California, and that's really from the time I was in fifth grade to the time I graduated high school. I was just immersed in an arts program that really set the stage for me, just being immersed in an environment of creativity, even in my regular subjects. I had teachers that were involved in the arts or, you know, encouraging. So it was like a family that really supported me as an artist as well as a, you know, student and a young guy. And lo and behold, I end up meeting Des McAnuff, who directed The Who's Tommy, who had directed Big River before that. I auditioned for him for Big River in my backyard in La Jolla. And he met me then, and you know, we hit it off really well. I didn't get to work with him for another, you know, gosh, it must have been 10 years when he saw me audition for Tommy. And that's when I met Des, and we actually got the chance to work together with Pete Townsend. And that show went from La Jolla to Broadway, just like Jersey Boys did 10 years after that. And so we had a blast, didn't work together again for another 10 years until he called me up to do Jersey, to audition for Jersey Boys. And I came down and met with him, sang a song, you know, on my 1959 Gibson LG1 with my kids in the corner. And he put his arm around me and said, you know, what are you doing in a couple months? And that's when we started with Jersey Boys. And at that point in time, there was no script. All we had was this great story that everyone knows now, you know, the underbelly real life story of the Four Seasons and all these great songs. And so we sat down at the table to read the script, and we knew that we had something really special. And it was and then we started singing the songs about 2 weeks into the rehearsal. I mean, we spent so much time learning about these guys and learning about their story and the era that they came from. That's when we really fell in love with the 1960s. You know, we started realizing that there was something really special about this time period, not only in the music industry, but in our in the country. And you said earlier, Merle, that you were, you know, that you knew all the lyrics to these songs. Well, you know, we're finding that the reason that these songs are still relevant today, not only are they, you know, brilliantly written songs by some of the greatest songwriters to live, but they're about things that you can identify with. And that's what we took to the bank, really, with Jersey Boys, is that people identified with these songs. They identify with the music, the era, and the characters. And the reason they identify with the characters is because not only are they well written, but the people, the actual guys, were very, very interesting and very different and at odds with each other in many times. And that's kind of what we are experiencing now in our own work together as a group. You know, Michael mentioned that we're brothers, and that really is the case. And we fight a lot, and we laugh a lot, and we love a lot, and work hard. And we're building a rapport with each other, much like an iconic group of the 1960s itself. And, you know, applying that to today's world really bridges the gap between young people and old people, or older people. You know, the people that want to go see the 60s to relive a time is one thing, but the people that are going to see the 60s brought back to life for the first time is what is equally exciting, because we have generations from, you know, grandparents to parents to their children and grandchildren coming to see us, and everybody knows these songs. They know the words, they know the tunes and the melodies, and that's something that we found as well. You asked us if any of us were from the 60s. You know, I was born in 68, but it really doesn't matter what decade you listened to music as a young person, or even today, you still hear these great songs. We've been marinating as a culture in these songs every decade since the 1960s. So even if you don't think you know every song from the 60s, chances are you either know it, or your music that you're listening to today was influenced directly from it.
Well, one of the things that you guys need to do when I come see the show, whatever, like, are there any, have you guys put out a CD on this, or what you're doing, or is there a...
Yeah, we're in the studio right now recording. We always are working on our sound, and we started maybe 3 years ago while we were still in Jersey Boys, and we did some work in the studio then that really kind of, you know, was a commemorative internal CD just for our own purposes and for you know, selling the act. We just wanted to kind of put this to lay down where we were at that time. And then we got back in the studio, started maybe 2-3 months ago, and we've just been developing our sound and working on a CD for the fans, and just to commemorate once again this past year, this life on the road that we've invested in.
Yeah,
that's
so if you keep in touch with us on Facebook and on our website, it'll tell you when that CD is for sale, because we are going to be releasing it this spring at some point.
Oh, that's great. Now, Michael, because I'm gonna take you up on coming into the city and meeting up with you. I'm just gonna tell you now,
Well, that'll be fun.
Because I'm not gonna say the full numbers, but I see in terms of full numbers, who's the one who's the first three digits starts with a 3?
That's Christian.
That is not I.
Probably Christian.
Not me. No, I'm 66.
Okay. How about one starts with a 3, one starts with a 4, one starts with a 5? Not the area code. 3.
Oh, okay.
The first number is a what?
Yeah, well, Michael, what's the first number on yours?
4. Not
four.
My area code.
Okay.
My area code is 9.
Okay. Okay, that's what I'll know. So when I call you, I'll know to call you.
I'm a 917 guy, yeah.
Oh, okay. anyway, well, this is really great. I want to have able to kind of end the show with a song that, you know, from you guys. So I don't want to, you know, I have to end this now, I think, to get this in. So I appreciate you guys calling in, and I be happy to see you there at the backstage. And,
yeah, Merle, please come out to Queens College April 9th. We're going to be out there, and we really hope to see you backstage, because I want to dance.
Okay, well.
you always want to dance.
Okay.
April 9th at the Colden Auditorium. Queens College.
www.themidtownmen.com. Merle, thank you, and thank you, everyone. And we hope that we can talk again someday. I want to see you at the gig, but more importantly, we'd love to have another one of these interviews. This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. So, and you, enjoy California. Yeah, well, I hope you'll
breathe
one day. All right, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye-bye.
But I got faith, and just let me down. Mess me around, and then worst of all, never call me.
I'm not sure what I'll be doing yet. You just never know. But for everybody, have a great day, evening, or whatever. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And this is Merle Exit. And if you do go to the Queens College, maybe I'll meet you there.